Can we take a minute to recognize Brenda and Steph, who come up here and lead us into prayer every week? Can you give them a round of applause, please? I won't teach this out, but can you imagine if anybody who has ever really dug into prayer or done a lengthy prayer, sometimes you come out of prayer tired. And so them coming up here and pouring out and ushering us into, that's no small thing. Okay, so show them your appreciation. I sure do appreciate them. So much so I forget to say thank you. You know what I mean? So we love you guys. Excited about today. 1 second. 670 people watched our sermon last week. Justin, are you onto this thing, this Facebook Live thing? Isn't that crazy? 670 people. You're doing a great job of sharing it, because what I'm noticing is conversations are taking place with people I don't know. So, like, you know, Marty's sister's so-and-so and so-and-so starts watching it. Then they have a conversation about it. And Karen's not here today, but Karen was even talking, like, this is our church, and this is what time we meet and all that. And it was like 4 degrees of separation away from me. Third people were moved. I don't know these people. I always thought people would be more onto the audio portion, but apparently they like to watch it. That's not me at all. But, hey, this is great. So I'm really excited, because this message today, it's a touch-up, but a lot of good stuff can come out of this. So let's go ahead and do it. So welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming to Norwood Free Methodist Church. We want to welcome everybody watching online and listening online to the podcast. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that on Facebook. And we can be found at norwoodfmc.com. We want to say hi to our brothers and sisters in India, who we are very much trying to get our material to India, because the church has gone underground. That's a big thing. But our Indian brothers and sisters, very glad to have you. Please go to norwoodfmc.com and check out 6 years of podcasts of teaching for free. We'll continue to have them up there. If you need material, we'll supply it as best we can. So today, this, I got to be honest with you, like, my posture, Bruce, has to be, yes, Lord, right? Obviously. And if it's not, we're always in our time. We want what the Holy Spirit wants. But once in a while, he gives me something that's like in my wheelhouse and what gets me really excited. And I tell you, when there's messages I don't want to give, that happens. That does happen. Today, I'm pumped. I'm jazzed right up, because I spent 7-ish years in crisis ministry counseling. What I mean is digging into the real deep things, and it was called Restoring the Foundations. I'll give credit to Restoring the Foundations, in fact, for some of my illustrations today. This material is so powerful. I've watched it change lives time after time after time. I've watched it save marriages time after time after time. Young people, you're so lucky to be hearing this today, honestly. Because at 25, I got a hold of this stuff, and that's when my life started to change. Can you imagine at 16? You'll see what I'm saying. For some of us, this will be a checkup. And I was a fool the first 3-4 years of ministry. I always thought if I gave a word, it's good, it's done. But no, some things you need to keep going back to. It's true. You need to take your vitamins every day. You need to exercise more than once a week, right? Spiritually, you got to keep checking in on these things. So we're going to start with a little story in the Old Testament. Of course, that's the beginning of it, the time before Jesus came. And we're going to pull some healing wisdom out of it that God wants for us. Let's do it. I love this part. It's right in the beginning. Genesis 3. Genesis means beginning. We're talking about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were deceived by a creation, a creature. Some say shining one. It was Lucifer, okay? The snake thing we won't get into. Metaphor. But when Eve ate that fruit, the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Where am I? But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Every time I show you this, I say the same thing, and it's this. How awesome is that? That God is walking with people in the cool of the day. It's so easy sometimes to think we worship a system or an idea. We do not worship a system or an idea. We worship a person, and he's found in Jesus Christ. That's the Lord God. And this is not an impersonal God, right? This is a God who was walking right beside them in the cool of the day. That's all well and good, Kirk, but the reality is we're actually going to get to do this again. We're moving back toward this. Do we understand? For the believer, we're promised this intimacy once again. Man, I don't know about you, but I could lose myself in imagination about walking next to Creator God. And oh, the things I want to talk to him about, I'm not going to grill him. The things I want to talk to him about, refracted light. I want to talk to him about the sun. I want to talk to him about how is Alex so awesome? How are my children so amazing? And how did you get me through that or this? And hey, wind, I don't really understand wind. Like, this is Creator God and we get to walk with him again. This is amazing. Don't miss this. And also, they heard the sound of him. And what do I always say? What did he sound like? Did he sound like this? Is that what Father God sounds like when he's walking? Did he sound like fire? Because he's often referred to as fire. He's also referred to as electricity. What was the sound? Last time I gave this message, I said, was it like a T-Rex? Boom, boom, boom. And I say that because my kids are into dinosaurs, so of course I think of that. But guys, we don't serve an idea. We don't serve a building. We don't serve even church. We serve God, and we get to walk with him once again. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. That had nothing to do with my point today. But we're not going to do this, okay? What I see when I read this is, he answered, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So I was naked. I was afraid, so I hid. And that right there is the foundation that's going to start a lot of change inside of people's hearts today. I want to propose to you today that all of us can very easily fall into this pattern. Right there in the beginning, we understand a pitfall for every human being that's going to be born. A pattern that we will just get into if we're not purposeful and if God doesn't give us the ability. I was naked, so therefore I was afraid, and there I hid myself. I told you previously, Alex has done this. The something happens, he gets ashamed, so he hides himself. Anybody play My Talking Tom? Do you know what Talking Tom or Angela is? It's the cat, yeah. And it'll mock you if you say, but you got to feed him, and you got to brush your teeth and all that. Well, I was saving up some coins to get Tom a Christmas outfit for Alex. And I got into it. I got excited. You got the Christmas bathtub. You guys have this too? Do you guys mess around with that? Well, then Alex starts buying all this junky food with the coins I'm saving. I'm like, dude, knock it off. I'm saving up for a Santa hat. Come on. Do you want the Santa hat? Yeah, daddy. Okay, then don't buy swaggy stuff. Wait for it. So what do I see? What do I see? He's on the couch and I see him turn like this and look at me. What are you doing? Nothing. Nothing, daddy. No, no. I'm like, oh, you're buying junky stuff again. He doesn't need more chocolate milk. Save up for the Santa hat. Well, what did he do as a little kid, 4-year-old kid? Hides, right? He hides. And I want to say today, it's not that Alex is a bad kid. It's that he's a human being. And this is what we do, guys. We have a tendency to do exactly the opposite of what we should be doing. And we end up in a very dangerous pattern. Let me look at the picture, Bri. Hope you can see this online. What you have on the top is shame, then fear, then control. I was naked, therefore I was afraid, so I hid myself. Shame gives way to fear and gives way to control. Now, I want to take a second on control for a second. When we realize that there's shame, something happened. Something happened to us. We did something. We broke something. We didn't live up to who we want to be or other people want us to be. We go into this fear. They're going to discover me. People are going to know who I really am. And what do? We go into control. I want to control the situation. I don't want other people to know who I truly am or who I feel like I am inside. And that's exactly what we see. Makes sense like this, doesn't it? Oh, we can see what happened right in the garden, guys. And it got us in real big trouble. Control. Let's get off that picture, Brian, because I don't want them to be reading a bunch of stuff on that. Just hit clear if you want. Shame leads to fear, leads to control, and it keeps looping. Shame lies about us, lies to us about who we are. And I promise you this is a pattern, okay? But shame lies to us about who we are. Fear holds us back in a million ways, but definitely from opportunities and God's best. And control tells us to try to control ourselves and others by promising us protection. We try to control to protect ourselves. And like I made reference to, I don't want them to know who I am or what I did. And so I'm going to try to control things. The problem with control, it never does protect us. It always fails. Then you put up more control, more control, more control. You stop going here. You stop going there. You stop going around these people. And the next thing you know, you're stuck in this control spiral. But here's the thing. A lot of there's a lot of good that comes out of like psychiatry, psychology, and all that sort of stuff. But the problem is, if we don't understand that that's a loop, that's an actual treadmill that keeps going, it'll just keep going. You can't attack just one of those things. You got to get it right in the beginning. See, here's the thing. If you want to kill an apple tree, you don't just pick all the apples over and over and over and over again. You got to get right down to the root, don't you? So I wonder why I'm always trying to control things, why I'm anxious, why I'm nervous. Let me stop this behavior, stop that. Let me try this, try that, try this, try that. Meanwhile, it's all rooted in shame. And then fear grew, and then there's control. Okay? I'm building, guys. You don't have to fully understand it. Oh, I'd be terrible if I gave it all away in 5 minutes, wouldn't I? God is in the business of getting to the root of issues and setting us free. Pushing stop on the treadmill. That's what's going to happen here today, guys. Shame lies to us about who we are. And the reason that's so important and powerful is because what you believe about you will determine your entire destiny. Do you know that? What you believe about you will determine your entire destiny. Good. I'm glad you're with me today. So we'll start about at the beginning here. As we're walking through this life, every single one of us has a billion opportunities to receive and believe lies about who we really are. When we adopt them, take them in, and we start, you know, we live believing them, we start to feel shame, and that starts us on the treadmill. We're going to leave that model for a second, and we're going to zoom in on the lie portion. What you believe about you will determine where you end up in life, love, financially, and definitely in a relationship with God. But I want to speculate. I want to prove this through the Bible, because this is not pop psychology today. If I look like Dr. Phil, that's tragedy, but I'm not here to do that. Okay. I want to look back at the story, because we're learning about human beings, you and me. I want to look back at the story, but I want to jump back a few verses in that story. Can we take the next slide, Bri? So we're back in the Garden of Eden before it happened. So it's Genesis 3:5 if you're listening online. Before they ate the apple, the fruit, not an apple. This is what's happening. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. This is the serpent or the devil tempting Eve. But this is the important part. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Do I have two or just one, Bri? Okay. Here's what I think may have happened in the garden. Because we see that they are shame, fear, control. We see that happens. But it says this. She took some and ate it. She gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Well, actually, don't we have another slide where it says, then their eyes were opened? They take it and their eyes are open. And it says right there, they will know good and evil, right? So she eats it. Follow me on this one. She eats it. She gains the knowledge of good and evil. So I can imagine what happened in that first instance, guys, is, wait, now I can discern good and evil. Oh my gosh, what we just did was bad. Because God is by nature good. And we did something again. Oh my gosh, wait. So what we just did, now that I know good and evil, what we did was bad. I must be bad. You got that? Does that make sense? What we just did was evil. I must be evil. Shame. Then they get afraid. And they do everything they can to cover it up, don't they? Shame, fear, control. Shame is when we adopt lies about ourselves and we live out of it. And we all do this. Oh my gosh. Well, let me just keep cranking because we're going to turn up the heat little by little by little today. It's not about heat. It's about healing. What if I told you that for years, I absolutely walked this out. Growing up, I'm not going to give my whole story here, but I never knew my birth mom and I kind of super broken family, the best of a bad situation. But I grew up around people who were not physically like me. Okay. My birth mother was full-blooded Sicilian. And if I get a second or two of sunlight, my skin gets real dark. That's just the way it is. I got thick hair. Anyway, I grew up around folks who didn't really look like me. And, I won't go into too many details because we're on Facebook Live, but that's what I'm struggling with right now. I don't want to get angry emails. But let's put it this way. I grew up believing I was never enough. And I'm talking up to 17, 18 years old. I was on the high honor roll. I was the prom king, all this sort of stuff. But I grew up, none of that mattered. Deep down, I believed I was never good enough. I would never fit in and I had nowhere I belonged. That last one really big. I had nowhere that I belonged. And what if I tell you that because of that, I went into action. I started to try to become enough, to earn love and admiration, to perform. Try all the time to impress people and hide the fact that inside of me, I was nobody and I wasn't good enough. And I've told you the story before. It took me to England, took me to Colorado, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Florida. It took me all over the place trying to be enough because I had this identity, this shame, and I was afraid people would find out about it. And so I went into control. And control was get good at this or this or this to be somebody. Because I knew deep down in my heart that I wasn't somebody. There wasn't somebody worth anything anyway at this time. So I can, you know, it was a set of lies wrapped around me that I chose to believe. I believe it's important to examine ourselves and dig out those lies that are pushing us around. And for those of us who are following Christ, we're given a command. Let's look at Romans 12:1. Please, Brian, thank you. Appreciate you. This is a teaching book to new Christians. And the Apostle Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but instead you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renew, right? Be made new again. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is our responsibility, guys, but what a gift that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. 55 years old sitting here, and what did I say during worship? Jesus is the author of new beginnings. This can start at any time. You can get off that shame, fear, and control spiral. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind about who you are. All right? I mean, is this good or what? And like I say, young kids, man, this is such a big deal for you. Because we have a choice to believe. We choose to believe what we believe about ourselves. It's our choice. It's our choice, guys. So here's the thing. I'm going to start. This is where it's going to get difficult today. Just pretend it's you and me. Okay? Nobody else is around. Nobody's going to be looking around. I'm going to read a list of things that counseling in 7 years has proven to me to be helpful. Okay? I'm going to read a little list. And if you listening online, watching online, you can follow along, but I got challenges for you today. I don't want anybody raising hands or nodding heads or nothing like this, but I'm going to read a list. And if I say something that you can relate to, guys, here, I want you to just keep it in your hand. Don't push it down. If you agree with what I'm about to say, you keep a mental note. That was me. And I'll give you a challenge to people on Facebook. If I say something that you can relate to, click thumbs up or something. I want to see if people are actually brave enough to step forward. So here's the thing. I'm going to read some things. Tell me if you've ever thought these things about yourself. Ready? I'm a burden. I'm a failure. A liar. I'm a loser. I'm a mistake. I'm codependent. I'm frigid. I'm compulsive. I'm controlling. How about defective? How about fearful, guys? You ever said, I'm overly sensitive? I'm passive? Impure? Broken? Anybody ever said, I'm inadequate? How about insecure? Here's a good one. I'm jealous. How about I'm stupid? I'm ugly. How about useless? Some folks have believed that they are invisible. Anybody? Oh, yeah. I can read your faces. And like I said, anybody online, keep it, guys. I want to show you why. Keep it. Don't push it back down. Here's why. Here's why this is important. If you believe that, here's a cycle that you have been living in your life. And God's here to set you free today. Beliefs on the top. Beliefs will influence your expectations. Expectations will influence your behavior. Behavior will influence your results. And keep going and going and going. I'm a loser. It's going to influence it. So let's say you go to a job interview. I'm a loser. Guess what? You're going to act like a loser. You're going to expect to not get that job. Then when you expect to not get the job, it's going to influence your behavior and you're not going to interview so well. Then when you don't get the job because you didn't interview well because you believed you're a loser, it's just going to reinforce the idea that you're a loser. Anybody? I'm unlovable. I'm going to always expect to be alone. I'm never going to find someone else because he broke my heart. He broke my marriage vows, whatever it may be. So I'm just going to expect to be alone all my life. So I'm going to go into solitude because no one will ever love me. And oh my gosh, it's been 3 years and I'm still alone. I must just be unlovable. Round and round and round, we live our lives in this pattern. And glory to God, we don't have to live this way anymore. We don't have to live in shame, fear, and control. We can be set free. And I have seen people that you wouldn't even recognize them after they discover this and God goes to work in the inside of them. Stuck on this loop, and then God says, no more. No more. What a loving Father who wants to help us out of this and lead us to our best lives, guys. And I love that he puts boots on the ground in our day-to-day lives. We could talk about theology. We could do that. I don't mind the fivefold act of the apostles and all that sort of stuff. But I love the fact that God says, come here, come here, come here. I gave you this life as a gift. And I see that you've bought a bunch of stuff that's not true about you, and it's killing you, man. Can anybody relate to being tired of just being on that treadmill over and over? Oh, exactly. Glory to God. He's here for us today. Absolutely. So keep in mind those statements that you went, me too. So are you ready for this? We're going to build it piece by piece, Terry. We have a choice of what we believe about ourselves. And some of us never thought about that. You choose what you believe about you. If you only heard that today, it was worth it. We choose what to believe about ourselves. Now, we've naturally just believed what's been said about us. We have. We've let experiences do this. That's what we naturally have done. Mom, dad, friends, ex-boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, whatever it may be, coworkers. Some of us were told we were unlovable, and that's where it started. Some of us were told we were ugly, naive, whatever it may be. And I want to tell you something. As a son or daughter of God through Jesus, and there it is. There it is. That's where we leave the Dr. Phil show and realize that this is only possible through the power of God. So what I'm about to share and what I just shared is great information, but it has no power to do anything in your life. Does that make sense? Oh, it's great information. And you can probably find this information on talk shows and self-help. And if you could have helped you, you would have already. Come on, guys. Now, this is where things take a turn. And I promise you, this is all in the name of helping and healing. Okay? We may get partial victory by knowing that we get to choose what we believe about ourselves. That's not where we're going to leave it today. There will be no miracles with that information. To fully break this cycle, the only way we do this is by cooperating with God through his power that's inside of the believer. And I feel the weight of being trusted in this position. I've lived my whole life to end up here, and I'm not saying some weird destiny thing, but I'm saying this is important. So I need to be fully honest with you. This is only for those who are adopted into God's family because they chose to believe Jesus Christ. And this is not popular. And if you don't think I know that hundreds of people are watching that thing, I do. But I can't do what we're about to do and think that it's for everybody. It's not. The Bible says this, but to all who believed him, Jesus, that he is who he says he is, and he did what he said he did, and to all who accepted him, he gave them the right, not the privilege, the right to become children of God, kids of God. That's it. Jesus, you are who you say you are. You did what you said you did, and I know you'll do everything you'll say you'll do in my life. I want you, I believe that. And the Bible gives us a promise. To all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And if that's you today, we can keep going. We can keep going, okay, because we're about to do the full operation. But information doesn't save anybody. And you can misquote all you want, and the truth will set you free. No, it doesn't. The real quote is, you remain in me, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right, exactly. And I cannot do this in good conscience. And I don't care if I get shot at from both sides, religion and no faith, because that's what happens. I can't continue this message about shame, fear, and control, having us believe that we can do it. Because I tell you what, we can't. And like I said, if you could have gotten off this treadmill, you would have already. But we have something. And I've talked about it for weeks. I talk about it every week. We have Holy Spirit living inside of us. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of us. Well, how, AJ? I have no idea. But I know it's there. I'm not going to lie to you. We have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. Now we can move on. Dear sons and daughters of God who are stuck on this treadmill, come with me. God's going to hit that emergency stop button right now. And for those of us guys who maybe even watching, those of us who've never made that decision, you can do that right now. You can say, Lord Jesus, I choose to believe you did, you came, you lived a sinless life, you died, and you rose again for me. Make that count for me. Right now, they can just pray it right now, and then we can move on together to healing. Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior, my Lord. It's that simple, guys. It's a choice. Faith is a choice. So if we're all together now and on board and all full disclosure has been met, we will move forward. Just trying to be responsible. Okay. So I told you before, you choose what you believe about you, right? It's true, but it's not the full truth. Here's the full truth. We can choose to believe what God says about us and not what others have said. And we've got to really get this. We can stop this. This is not the power of you. I'm talking about the power of God transforming us. And the reason I say that is because it says, be transformed. It does not say transform yourself. Come on, anybody? Go back, Brian, would you? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, it's something that you're a part of, but you don't do it. That's why I had to say what I just said, because I didn't want to mislead people. Be transformed. Work this process by the renewing of your mind, but you cannot do it on your own. And you're not even called to do it on your own. Well, whatever, Brian, it's fine. God's kids, those who have Christ, we have this. We can be transformed and get off the treadmill. So all these I am statements that we believe for all these years, the ones I told you to keep, we're going to do something I would never want you to do on your own. We're going to turn and face them, but we're going to do it together. Don't ever do that on your own, by the way. I don't think you ever turn and face things on your own in your own power. But today we're going to turn as a family. We're going to be brave and turn and look them right in the eye. So I have a question, and this is where it heats up, and I love it. Who gets to define you is the question. I said before, you get to choose what you believe, but who actually gets to define you? I want to say this. What makes us think that we can even define us? Do you know who gets to label creation? Creator. So who gets to actually define you with those statements I read earlier? Who gets to actually say? God does. Creator of Music Stand called it Music Stand. You don't have to like it. It's the reality. I don't want to call it Music Stand. Nobody cares. It's a music stand, right? So when we said those statements, I'm ugly, you don't get to say that. You don't get to say that. Did you make you? Then you don't get to tell Creator God how he made you. You don't get to do that. You get to choose what you believe. But what's the actual truth, Marty? You got to go to him. We got to go to him. Not mom and dad, not ex-husband, not coworkers, not friends. No more. We go to Creator God. I tell you, yes, good. Yeah. This changed so much for me, you guys. You're looking at a person who's completely different than I used to be. So much so that instead of being so held down by these labels I put on myself and other people, when I got free about a year or so into the marriage, I'm in the kitchen dancing with the golden retriever, and we're just goofing around. And Melanie, she wasn't being mean, but she was laughing. She goes, how come you didn't tell me that I was marrying a 12-year-old when I married you? And I literally said, I didn't know at the time. Because the person you married believed all these lies about himself, and I would never have danced with that dog and had a good time and acted like a kid. I never would have done that. But when I got off that, when those labels fell off me and God says, come here. Hey, I'll tell you who you are. When he gave me the truth of it, I was set free. I was set free of this burden of, I'll never fit in. I'll never be enough. I'm ugly. I'm broken. I'm discarded. I've been rejected. When that all went off me, guess what? I wanted to dance, bro. I wanted to dance. I wanted to be goofy. I wanted to be a kid again. Isn't that awesome? And that's what's waiting for some of us today. That's what's waiting for us right here and right now. Off that treadmill, you get a lot more energy. It's tiring to be on that shame, fear, control, all because you believe the lie about you. And God is the only one who can actually tell you who you are. And that's just straight up math, guys. You create something, you get to label it. You don't create it, don't label it. And actually, guys, a little Bible for you. When he says judge not, that's what he's saying. Don't judge good or bad. You don't get to label anything because you didn't make anything. You didn't even make your own kids. You produced the biology for it all, but you didn't stitch them together in their mother's womb. We'll look at that in a second. You didn't dump a spirit inside of those kids. You didn't get to choose the spirit of the kids you have. So you don't even get to label them, says God. Careful little mouth, what you say. Right, Steph? She knows the song. Careful little mouth, what you say. All right, let's keep going, guys. We're going to hit another year here. So you've said to yourself and acted out the idea that you're a loser, a burden, ugly, inadequate, whatever it is. But God says you're wonderfully and fearfully made and wonderfully and fearfully loved. And the thing is, the two of those things don't agree, and they can't both be true. I'm ugly or I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. Yeah, Brian, we've got it. Let's jump forward. I probably missed where I was supposed to. So, Psalm 139. Okay, you ready? Let's get into basic arithmetic here. For you created my inmost being, God. You knit me together in my mother's womb, says the Bible. I praise you because of that reality, because I understand it, choose to believe it. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So either you're a loser or you were stitched together with a master craftsman. Which one is true? You get to decide today. You get to decide. But here's the thing. They can't both be true. They can't both be true, right? I'm unlovable. Well, the Creator God just said you're wonderfully and fearfully made. You can't be unlovable and have this be true. And here's the thing about life, guys. It's just a series of choices. Choose. Right? Choose. Lots of us have bridges behind us that are on fire. Lots of us have bad relationships we came out of when we started to take on identities. So either what ex-boyfriend said about you is true or this is true. Now you choose to believe. Put your big boy pants on and make a choice. Because if you choose to believe you're ugly, you're calling this a lie. We don't have time, guys, to be super sensitive snowflake. This is the reality of it all. Either you're more than a conqueror, which we're going to look at too, or I'm never going to be able to get that job. I'm just not that good with people. Meh, 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 meh. Or this is true. Boy, I wish I had a preacher when I was 25 that would come right at me between both eyes. It would have saved me so much time. All his works are wonderful and amazing. Here's another little technique that sometimes I use when I'm reading the Bible. We read it from top to bottom. That's cool. But let's take the last sentence. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. For you created my inmost being. So wait, your works are wonderful. I know that you created my inmost being. Your works are wonderful and I'm one of them. Anybody? Yeah, cool. Cool when you do that, right? I know full well that everything you make, sunsets, Grand Canyon, everything you make is excellent. Sunset, sunrise, chickadees. We have an owl flying around. They're awesome. All that's awesome, but no, not me. No, reality is you are the master craftsman and I'm one of your crafts. Hallelujah, guys. So you can't separate the two. And I see folks every day, even people in the kingdom of God, walking around with their heads down low. What? Do you know what it took to make you? Have you seen your central nervous system? that's science funny. Do you know what kind of miracles are going on inside your cellular division in your body? Do you know that God breathed his very life into you? You, the sunset is nothing compared to you. Beautiful, miraculous you. And I'm not saying everybody's special. I'm saying they're special because of who he is and made them. Right? We act out of that, guys. We act out of that and we realize, whom then shall I fear? God's with me. He created me. I'm just who I need to be. Let me cut this crap off myself and live in victory in this life. I'm not who they say I am. Boy, people go to the grave believing lies about themselves. See why I'm saying for young people this is huge? I don't care what your friends say about you. No, I really could not care any less than I do right now. I don't care what your friends say about you. You go to your Father in heaven and say, wait, since you made me, who am I? And they're going to say, he's going to say, more than a conqueror, able to do all things, smart, loving, right? That's what you let stick to you, not that other stuff. Or you can do what I did and waste 20 years. 20 years with a false identity and living out of that false identity. Let's not do this, guys. We have the power and we have the choice to about what we believe about ourselves, and it's going to shape what we do. I'm overly sensitive. I'm angry. I'm stubborn. Let's attack some behavior stuff, Brenda. Let's do that. Because that stuff, that'll hit 85% of us. But some of us will think, I'm short-tempered. And you'll go, well, that's sort of a behavior. It's not a characteristic. Well, let me get that out of the way, too. Let's look at Galatians, please. Teaching book. We just went through. Remember when I got all intense and we were talking about you can believe and become a child of God? Remember when I did that? We receive the Holy Spirit, and that's capital S right there, folks. The fruit of the Spirit, in other words, the fruit that falls off the tree that is you now, okay, when the Holy Spirit's in you, it's actually love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when you have the Holy Spirit, you automatically have these. And by the way, it does not say fruits. and that'll change everything. These are not one. I got this one, but I don't got that one. I got this. There's a reason that that's a singular word, because it all comes with the Holy Spirit. So we may not be walking it out in full maturity. I get that, but you have it. For example, with that addiction you're struggling with, don't pray for self-control. You've got it. You've got it. Operate through the self-control now. Lord, help me to foster that, facilitate it. Help me to focus on it. Holy Spirit, bubble it out of me. But don't pray that it's out there. It's not out there anymore. It's in here. It's one package. Boom. Get it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all this stuff. Well, I just, you know, like I said, I just get so mad. Okay, right now you do, but you have this inside of you. Work it. Work it. Start the process. Father God, help me this. Help me that. And you work it out. But don't act like it's outside of you. It's there. I'm passive. I'm incompetent. I'm a loser, right? This is all stuff that we got to get it off of us. Brian, what do we have next? I don't know. Okay. What then shall we say in response to everything we know about Jesus? It's a huge thing. And some people today watching, I have a strong feeling some people today, this is new. If God is for us, who can be against us? No, quite possibly. I try to explain to Alex. He says, don't judge him for this. He goes, Daddy, if a mean one, he doesn't say bad guys or good guys. He says nice ones or mean ones. And I didn't do that, but it's awesome because anybody can choose to be a nice one. I was like, yes, don't label good or bad. Ah, but he did it. I didn't. I'm not like super dad. He goes, if a mean one tries to fight Jesus, Jesus would win. And I just died laughing. I'm like, what are you doing? Jesus holds everything together. The molecules that make up that person trying to fight, how do I talk about this? Because time and space and even light, like, it's not like a person fighting a person, Alex. But if God be for us, Alex, what could possibly come against us? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God is so everywhere and all the time and huge and powerful and outside of time, so therefore he knows everything. And how can anything come against us? How could job loss, how could sickness, how could anything come against us if God is right here with us? That's what he's saying. I don't know why I went off on that. Sorry. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with it graciously give us all things? In other words, he gave his son for us. How is he not then going to help us meet our financial needs? What is that, too much? Ooh, lots of spit. What is that too much? Sorry, I'm getting excited. What is that too much, though? Like, he gave us the son, and now we're looking for an identity from him. No, guys, sorry, I'm tapped out. I gave you Jesus, but I'm not going to give you that. That's what it's saying. I'm not saying this. How then will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against us? Who's going to label us inappropriately through God has chosen? Oh, that goes right with my point, doesn't it? It's God who justifies. It's God who makes it, you know, right? Who is he that condemns? Who is he that puts on bad labels? Who is he that condemns? Right. Well, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, he's at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us. So, who's going to separate us from the love of Jesus? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness that comes from shame? What about danger or sword? What's going to separate us from this love of God and getting us free? For it is written, for your sake we face death all day. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And I gave you all of that because I don't want to be a one-verse guy, Brenda. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors to those exams in college. More than conquerors in our workplace. More than conquerors as we're retired and looking for new things to do. More than conquerors when we're looking for someone to love us. More than conquerors as parents. I need that right now. To be a good dad, to be a good, more than conquerors is people who can conquer an addiction. Do you understand this? So I gave you one. I wanted to give you one. I wanted to give you one, and here's why. In life, you don't just empty a cup. You got to put good stuff back in it, okay? I'll give you a metaphor. Here's my Packers glass. I don't want any chatter online about the Packers. They good run this year with, anyway. So here's the thing. Jesus talks about this. We're talking about identities, right? We're talking about identities. I just told you and taught you and convinced you that you need to shed the garbage, right? Come on, give me 5 more minutes, please. Yes? Okay. But here's the thing. Let me warn you. I got to give you full disclosure. You don't just dump the junk out. You got to fill it with real stuff. Jesus talks about that. He actually talks about it's a whole situation spiritually. If you leave that empty, guess what? Junk's just going to find its way back in there. The next person says, you're fat, you're ugly, you're a loser, you're stupid, you're a turkey, whatever it may be, right? Right. No, you fill it up with good stuff. You fill it up with good stuff. And I just gave you one. I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, also, I'm wonderfully and fearfully made, just as I am. And you fill it up with the good stuff. You'll be dancing with the dog in the kitchen in no time, people. He's a good dancer. Me? Eh. I'm kidding. I'm a great dancer in Jesus' name. So we have a choice, guys. I'm going to give you the name of these. In this ministry, we call it an ungodly belief, a lie that's keeping you down and holding you hostage against or versus God's thoughts and truth about you. But you cannot have both. So as we're getting ready to close, I want to say this. Okay, yeah, this is, I apparently wrote down that this is the most important part, so I'm going to believe AJ from the past, and I'm going to pay attention to it. We, you, me, have believed lies about us for so long that they're going to run deep. And let me give you some advice. Your first step is to acknowledge it. We've done that. You held it close. You break its power and renounce it. For example, and be weird, inside of yourself or in your alone time today or sitting at home, lucky Facebookers, I renounce the lie that I am worthless. I renounce that and I choose to believe the godly thought that I am God's beloved. That's what you do. Listen, life is about what you do in a lot of ways, right? I say this stuff out loud, guys. Marty, when it starts getting me 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, and you start thinking that thought again, that old thought, I say, I renounce that. I don't believe that anymore. I don't receive it. Dump. I believe the reality that I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. Poor. Understand? Do it. Do it. One foot in front of another. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This process, you didn't make it up, did you? We just saw it from the garden. And God walked us through this. But you be a part of it. I'll tell you what I did. Actually, I'll finish the story. I hate unfinished stories. I really do. It bugs me. So I believed that the whole time. I believed that I had nowhere I would fit in. I got this material and did a 15-hour 3 hours a week, 15-hour sessions with two counselors. And we dug out the lie, okay? And we put in a godly thought. And then this is what happened. The counselors looked at me and said, okay, so you can either, you got a little bit of victory. So you can either just stop there or visit this over and over and over again until it runs as deep as the lies used to. And that's when you'll get your full victory. Amen. Yeah. So you know what I did? I wrote down the lies that had been chasing me. Oh, I'm a weirdo because either I do it or I don't. Either do it or stay home, in my opinion. You know what I mean? I wrote down, I'm unloved. I'm easy to reject. I'll never fit in anywhere. I wrote that down. Then I wrote down my godly thought. And it was, I am chosen by God. I'm to be a loving expression of Christ in this family. That was it. Because it was personal. So you know what I did? Even weirder, I kept it with me. I put it in my wallet because I don't want half victories. And every time I started to have those thoughts, I'll give you a hint, it came around the holidays or when we get together, I would look at that and go, I may feel like I don't belong anywhere, but I choose to believe that I am an expression of God's love in this family right here. And I babysat it. You wonder why I'm dancing with the golden retriever 3 years later. You wonder. Because that lie kept it, and I stood tall, I became a man, I put my back straight and said, I'm winning this victory. There's giants in the land, but that's my land. And I stood up, and in God's strength, time after time after time, it's not a one-shot deal, guys. It's not David and Goliath, because he'll get back up, and he'll get you in the midnight. And then your coworker says something. You understand what I'm saying? But they take that shield, now we know, take the sword, I'll get you up here preaching about that, Brenda, and you fight. And you get free. God's here. He's waiting, and your promised land is free with the truth about you. So don't turn back. Do not turn back. We run to our Heavenly Father. We work these things out. And so this week, be strong, be brave. The reality of it all is most of us won't actually babysit this, but I want you to be the one who does. You babysit this over and over and over again. You can use this wonderful, magical little thing called Google. If you discover, wait a minute, I feel like I'm dull and have a bad personality. What does the Bible say about personality? Brrr. That's it. What, do you think I'm some genius? Google the thing. You're right. I feel ugly. What does the Bible say about me being ugly? Bam. There's your godly belief. All it's got to do is come from the Bible. Don't worry about translation. Make sure it's the Bible. You know, King James, ISV, whatever it is. and you get your godly thought, and you get your godly thought about you, and you hold on to it. Don't let anybody rip it away. Okay? So we're going to sing a worship tune. Thanks, everybody online. If you have any questions, feel free to message me right at the Facebook page. I want to see people get victory in this, and in God, it's our promise. So let's worship, guys, together.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
We want your truth, Lord God. We want to be set free from those things that are holding us back and holding us down, Lord. We're tired of it, Lord God, lots of us. We're tired of feeling that way and just receiving what people say or what the past circumstances told us about ourselves. We give you permission today, Lord God, to do that healing work inside of us. We worship, Father God. We worship for the fact that we have an opportunity to return to the truth. Maybe some of us for the first time. To see ourselves for who we really are. We thank you, Father. We're very excited, Lord God. We're very excited for this process inside of us. Remind us, Holy Spirit, when we start falling back into it, if we start giving ground back, remind us, Lord God, and strengthen us as we prepare for this battle. We love you, Father God. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We worship you, Lord God.
Lord, I give you my heart. Give you my soul, and I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Thank you for all you've done and all you are. We pray in the name and power of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.